Man went to a rummage sale one day and he found this unique bottle and he had to have it. So he took it home and he put it on the shelf for a while and it was kind of dirty. So one day he got it out and he began to clean it up. And poof, out pops a genie. The genie says, "I'll grant you one request since you let me out of the bottle." And the man thought for a moment and he said, "I'd like to have forgiveness with my brother." He said, "A few years ago we had some really harsh words and our relationship has never been the same since." The genie was amazed. He was used to hearing money and cars and houses and power and all this stuff. And he said to the man, he said, "Your wish is granted." But he said, "May I ask?" He said, it's so unusual that someone asks for forgiveness. He said, are you dying or something?" And the guy said, "No, my brother is, and he just won $60 million in the lottery." Relationships. They mean something to us, don't they? Do you ever notice how relationships work with us? We have a wide variety of relationships. We have some further out that are just casual acquaintances and people that we know, but as the relationships get closer and closer to us, they mean more to us. And those that are really near us, that know the very selves of ourselves, that we want to have a good relationship with those people. But sometimes we hurt them, don't we? We do something we shouldn't do. We say something we shouldn't say. And that relationship has been damaged. And we know that that's hurt involved. And the only way that we can really get that relationship back to the way it was is we have to say, "I'm sorry." We have to apologize. We have to make amends. Because that relationship is that important to us that we want it to be the way it was before. Relationships is what our gospel about is too. Relationship of a father and two sons. As we all know the story, the prodigal son, it comes from the 15th chapter of Luke. And the story actually starts out with a couple of other parables in front of it, all about something being lost and then rejoicing of it being found. It starts off with a man who has 100 sheep and he loses one and he leaves 99 and he goes and finds it. Lady who loses a coin and she sweeps the house and calls her friends to rejoice when she's found the lost coin. And then we have the parable of the lost son, what we call the prodigal son. There's three main characters. Let's first look at the prodigal son. Apparently he thought he was missing something in life. So he went to his father and he said, basically, in essence, because he asked for his inheritance, he said, "Father, you're dead to me. Give me what I should have coming to me." Surprisingly, the father gave it to him. And the son went off to find the things apparently he thought he was missing in life. Reading the gospel book, it sounds like he had a pretty good time there for a while. A lot of friends. Then the friends ran out. When the money ran out. And then the food ran out. And then he wasn't very happy. He was hungry. Alone. You see, he learned an important lesson. What he learned is there is a difference between pleasure and happiness. Pleasure is a condition that exists as long as the activity that causes pleasure continues. You're eating a piece of cake. You're enjoying a cup of coffee. You're drinking a glass of wine. It's pleasure while you do it. It's fun. It tastes good. You can touch it. You can feel it. And the pleasure continues as long as the activity continues. Maybe it's driving a fast car. Or whatever. But as long as you're doing this activity, the pleasure's there. But when the activity stops, so does the pleasure. It's not to be confused with happiness, because happiness, you can't touch it, you can't feel it, you can't see it, you can't measure it. I'm sorry, you can feel it. You know when you have happiness. You have happiness, you have peace, and you have tranquility. The feeling that you want to keep, and it's a feeling that you want to have. That's what the son discovered. But he discovered what he thought he was missing, all those things in the world, were really only pleasure. And it came right down to it, what made him happy was being with his father. And he understood that the way he had left damaged his relationship with the father. He knew he had done things that his father would not approve of. His relationship with the father was damaged. So he knew that when he went back to the father, he was going to have to ask for forgiveness. And he did. The second person in the story is the father. And we heard it was seeing him coming from a long way off. So the father must have been looking for him. Hoping and praying that he would return. He ran to his son. And his son tried to say, "Father, I've sinned," but the father cut him off. And he said, "Bring the finest robe from the house. Put a ring on his finger." That was a sign of power and prestige and buying authority. "Put shoes on his feet. Put sandals on his feet." Only a slave went barefooted. "Kill the fatted calf. Call the town. We must celebrate." He was lost, and now he is found. The father forgave him because when he seen him coming, he knew he had learned where he was truly happy. And then we have to deal with the other son. Maybe you can sympathize with the other son. He stayed home. He was the faithful one. He did all the work. When he heard that his brother was back, he got angry. He refused to come into the house, and he refused to be part of the celebration. And the father went out, and he tried to plead with him. But his anger welled up. His pride welled up. He couldn't go back in there and face his brother. Do you think he was happy? I don't think he was. He wasn't with his father. He had let his pride of the things that he had done and he had accomplished become between him and his father, and the understanding what his brother had come to understand. The happiness was to be with the father. He had sinned too. But he was too proud to ask for forgiveness. Too proud to reconcile his relationship with the father. What does this mean for us? My friends, God so loved the world, he sent his only son. Not to condemn the world, but that the world may live and have life through him. Just like in our first reading, the Lord God made a covenant with the Israelite people. And he led them through the desert. Even though they had sinned many times and turned away from him, he remained faithful. And as they did their penance by being in the desert for the 40 years, he kept his covenant. He led them to the promised land. A land they had left 600 years earlier because of a famine and gone to Egypt because there was food. Now they returned to a land of plenty. He had provided for their needs and had been with them on the journey. And once they ate of the produce of the land, the manna stopped. Now he would feed them on the bread of forgiveness and understanding. We have a covenant too with God that we celebrate here each and every time that we come to Mass. We hear the words of consecration. "This is my body given up for you. This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins." What about our relationship with God? We've sinned too. We've sinned too. Good news is that God loves us, because I think the most important line in that gospel is what the father said to the oldest son: "My son, everything I have is yours." Everything the Father has is happiness. Eternal happiness and eternal life. That's the gift that God offers each and every one of us today. Many people took advantage of the Lights Are On program and came and reconciled their relationship with God. I'm glad for you. I speak to you who haven't yet. During this week, we have a chance for reconciliation services throughout the deanery. 3 p.m. today at St. Nicholas. 7 p.m. Tuesday night at St. Martin. 7 p.m. Thursday night at St. Clement's, 3 p.m. next Sunday. It's all in the bulletin. It's over on the right side in the calendar. I urge you, my friends, take this chance to renew your relationship with the Father. You see, both sons sinned, but one was able to ask for forgiveness, and one's pride wouldn't let him do it. So I leave you with this thought: which son are you?